Hey, John. Hey, Laurel.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, Sean.
Oh, and hello there, podcast listeners. Didn't see you over there. Thanks for joining us.
you can never see them, Sean.
That's true, but they really snuck up on me this time. Anyway, glad you're here. We got to level with you, though. We usually try to keep these intros kind of light and airy, fun, and we have been struggling with it this week because it feels like the news is, you know, it's like a new level of kind of serious this week.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really hard for us, and trust me, we've tried, to make a protest this week that was pretty intense at the state capitol about Wisconsin opening up after a long stay-at-home order and a state Supreme Court case brought by the state legislature against the governor and his administration about the same thing, into things that are funny and light.
Well, good news, guys. This is our podcast, and we can do whatever we want, so we can just talk about it. So let's talk about it. This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week, we talk about health and safety and livelihoods and the economy and whether or not to open up the state in the face of a giant pandemic. Tell me what to do. Well, that, of course, is the one and only Fela Kuti with his song Open and Close from the 1971 album of the same name. God, I love that guy. And it really is not only a jaunty number, it's also sort of a musical metaphor for what the opposing sides in Wisconsin want to do, you know, whether they want to open or close.
Yeah, I mean, everybody was thinking the same thing, John. I feel like you put to words what everyone was thinking when they heard that song, which is widely played on the radio all the time.
Yeah. As it should be.
How
As
come
it should
I don't
be.
Get music director credits for this podcast? I'm going to start listing that at the end.
Go,
I mean,
go
you're,
do
you're,
it.
You're John, the man in charge.
You mix
you
the
can
podcast.
Do it.
Go for it.
All right. Well, where do we even start this week, guys?
Well, I think that we could start chronologically, which is sort of like the legal arguments about Wisconsin's stay-at-home order, which were kind of early in the week. Or we could start with the really big news of the week, which was a protest that happened today, Friday, that Sean covered in person. So I'm a little biased because I covered the Supreme Court stuff early, but I don't know. I'm open to what you guys think.
Let's just jump right into some self-referential, what does it all mean, discussion about news. How's that mm-hmm. work? That always goes well.
I'm always
Sean,
down for that.
What does it all mean?
I'm glad you asked, John, because I've been pondering this question for a good number of decades now. And here's what it is. No, I mean, I do think about when we cover news like today's protest, we know from polling that the number of Americans who think that stay-at-home orders have been too broad is a small number. And so I know there are people out there who say, why are you amplifying that message? And I guess I've come down on the fact that these are historic times, first of all, and this was, I guess, in the context of those times, kind of a historic event, you know, the first time since our state has said, avoid large gatherings in the name of public health, that a large group of people have come together willingly and said, no. You know, and called the governor a tyrant, and called the media a virus, and open carried semi-automatic rifles around the Capitol grounds in numbers I have never seen before since I've been covering protests at the Capitol. So I understand that it's a minority of people, according to polling, but I don't know how you don't talk about it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you want to start there. What was it like? What was the mood like out there?
So the mood was angry. Let's just start there. I mean, I will say, I mean, I've covered a lot of rallies at the Capitol, and like I covered the Tea Party rallies. I've covered conservative rallies at the Capitol many times. I like to go out and talk to people, but I like to be just super polite and hear them out and have a conversation, and it feels good, right? I didn't get that feeling from some people at this rally. It was just a notch more intense, you know. First of all, we're being told to avoid large crowds, to keep 6 feet away from people, and that was not happening here. Most people were not wearing masks. I felt like I had to go into the crowd a little bit to talk to people, but when I started talking, first of all, I got in there and, you know, one guy just started yelling at me right away, and then I went, I talked to him for a while. I feel like we didn't connect. I feel like we left that conversation, and he is not a fan of the media still. And then I talked to another guy who was also in the crowd. And as I was interviewing him, while I had a boom pole to keep like 6 feet distance from myself and him, a crowd was gathering around me because I was kind of a spectacle. I was a reporter there talking to this man about stay at home. And being a reporter at this rally is like not the greatest thing to be, was my take on it. And if social distancing is important to you, being at this rally was not a great place to be because a crowd was gathering as we spoke. So that's the kind of day it was for me, I'd say.
What were some of the main like concerns that you heard from people, and like what was the level of organization to the whole thing?
So I'll tell you, this was less tightly organized than the Tea Party rallies of like 2010, that kind of swept Scott Walker into power among many Republican governors throughout the United States. Those were very, very organized. They had the backing of like Americans for Prosperity. And I just remember those being, we'll just say, more organized. I know there were big Republican activists like Stephen Moore, an economic advisor to President Trump, who said he was working with organizers of the Wisconsin rally. And I know there were conservative groups who had an interest in the rally. But, you know, I would not say this was as organized as like the Tea Party stuff from a decade ago.
And so was it mostly sort of just a conservative gathering at large, or did you get the sense that it really was focused on Tony Evers and the stay-at-home order?
It was, I would say that Governor Evers got special attention at this rally. You know, there was a booth set up by former State Representative Don Pridemore, who lost to Evers in a 2013 race for state superintendent. He was circulating a petition to form an exploratory committee for a recall of Evers. So, you know, you've kind of heard rumblings of that this past week. There he was doing it. So, you know, Evers did get special attention here. A lot of the signage that I saw comparing, you know, him to a dictator, that tells you that the governor of Wisconsin is getting attention from this crowd. But it was also kind of attacking society at large for what they viewed as an overreaction to COVID-19, attacking the media for sure. I mean, that was definitely there. So, yeah, it was a little bit of everything, but definitely a focus on the governor.
So I feel like you're obviously expressing a frustration on the part of the protesters today that we've heard to a certain extent from Republican lawmakers. And we're going to get into the lawsuit that was filed on behalf of the legislature, which is controlled by Republicans, against the governor and the stay-at-home order. But I think before we do that, we should talk a little bit about what the overlap is or isn't between what lawmakers have been pushing for and what some of these protesters are talking about. I mean, did you get the sense that the protesters today are 100% sort of like feeling like Republicans in the legislature are representing their point of view, that feel like they're kind of heard in this process?
No, I don't think so exactly. So I will say that, you know, there are some people who are like comparing Governor Evers to Chairman Mao or Lenin, and, you know, some people walking around with guns who say, you know, I don't really consider myself a Republican, I'm a libertarian. There's a little element of that going on out there. However, there were definitely other people that I talked to who you heard arguments from them that are similar to arguments you hear from Republican lawmakers right now. And one of those being, hey, this is a problem that affects big cities. Wisconsin does not have that many of them. So why do the rest of us have to sort of suffer just because it's happening in places like Milwaukee or Madison or Green Bay? So that's one of the arguments you heard, is that we shouldn't have to shut down just because this is happening elsewhere. We don't have a lot of cases. The other argument that you did hear from some folks is that this has been overblown. COVID-19 has been overblown. We understand the need for a shutdown order back when this all got started. But, you know, this is something that people can make up their own minds about now. That if you're concerned, go out, wear a mask. If you're not, don't wear a mask. People can make their own decisions. So those are what I would say are kind of the two fundamental arguments that you heard out there in one way or another at this protest that have definite crossover to what you're hearing from lawmakers at the state capitol.
Mm-hmm. And I really kind of, and maybe this is going too far aside, but I want to mention you did a story on kind of the evolution of this debate in the capitol and the legislature, Sean, and you talked about the role of conservative talk radio and kind of spurring these protests to a certain extent and kind of pushing back on Republican legislators and their position so far. I think that's kind of an interesting dynamic to mention, that these conservative groups and conservative radio that's been really powerful historically in Wisconsin isn't necessarily on the same page as Republican lawmakers in this process of figuring out COVID-19. I mean, can you, before we move on, can you kind of flesh out a little bit of the maybe push and pull between different conservative groups in Wisconsin and how they feel about how this pandemic has been handled and how the shutdown's been handled?
Yeah, I mean, we say this a lot, but it is seriously easy to lose track of time in the age of COVID-19, right? I mean, so much happens and it all feels enormous when it happens. And then like a week later, you can't remember what happened. So let's just refresh your memories here that it was like a week and a half ago that the legislature passed a COVID-19 relief bill nearly unanimously. I mean, it passed the state Senate 32-0 on April 15th. What else happened on April 15th? State Senator Scott Fitzgerald was a guest on the Mark Belling show on WISN radio in Milwaukee. Mark Belling, a conservative talk radio host, longtime conservative talk radio host, can be very outspoken on some issues when he wants to be and is not afraid to kind of let Republican lawmakers have it. And he let Fitz have it for a good half hour on this bill. You know, he had very specific issues on one hand. You know, he thought that hospitals were being shielded from lawsuits over COVID-19. But more generally, he said that lawmakers got buffaloed by Evers. You know, he mocked the idea of bipartisanship. And he said that, you know, they should have gotten more concessions from Evers in the form of loosening up stay at home. And, you know, this is happening at the same time that you have conservatives around the country promoting these protests. You have conservative groups promoting these protests. And so, you know, I mean, you've seen conservatives very quickly go from we're all in this together to open this thing up. Democrats, you're standing in the way.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like as someone that's kind of covered the political evolution of this debate, it doesn't seem like that long ago, and it wasn't, but at the same time, it feels like a really long time ago, that Republican lawmakers were really kind of loath to criticize the governor and his response. And in one of the first press conferences about COVID-19 and the response on the part of the state government, kind of as a whole, lawmakers that lead the Senate and Assembly were kind of like, you know, we're not going to criticize. That's not the time. It's not the place to kind of bring partisanship into this debate. And I think that feels so long ago because it feels this week that that's really been put aside, that those sort of partisan differences that are beginning to emerge about how the government should operate at this time have become so stark.
Yeah, yeah, they have. And I will say, like, once Republicans filed their lawsuit to try to overturn the latest stay-at-home extension, Governor Tony Evers' response was not, there weren't a lot of folks in there, you know? He wasn't the aw shucks Tony Evers. He was saying that what Republicans were doing, if they were successful, would mean more people would die.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like he was mad. He was not happy about this.
Yeah, that was my impression. And I always, you know, I always hate to read what's in a politician's mind. But, okay, all that said, I thought Evers sounded angry on this call that he did with reporters, you know. And he did not budge from this idea that this lawsuit from Republicans was going to mean more people would die from COVID-19. You know, they obviously were not happy with him using those terms, and said it emboldened them that they were doing the right thing to try to take this power away from the governor.
So, sort of playing this out a little bit, what are Republicans in the state legislature who filed this lawsuit seeking from the state Supreme Court here? What exactly are they looking for?
Well, I think it's important to mention that they're not just looking for the lifting of the current stay-at-home order, but they're looking to be more, I think appropriately, kind of in their words, they're looking to be at the table when these sort of decisions are made. And it's a really familiar argument, really, that we've seen from the state legislature since Governor Evers has taken office. Republican lawmakers that control the Assembly and the Senate have said that they believe the legislature needs to have more power in a lot of decisions that come out of the state capitol. And so this lawsuit is kind of them pushing that narrative of the executive has more power than is appropriate. The legislature needs to be there and kind of be a part of the crafting of this plan of when Wisconsin is shut down, when it opens up, and what the metrics are to open the state up.
Yeah, and specifically, they asked the court to, first of all, overturn the extension of the order, which was issued by the Department of Health Services Secretary. So this is not going after Evers' orders, which Republican lawmakers could repeal at any moment. And they could have at any moment during all of this. They have the power to pass a joint resolution. They don't need the governor's signature. They could repeal Governor Evers' powers. But they can't repeal the DHS emergency powers without sending it to the governor's desk and getting his signature. And so that's what they're asking the court to do. They're also asking for a 6-day stay from the court. It's just their suggestion, basically, to let Evers promulgate rules that could be, you know, approved or vetoed by state lawmakers. So giving themselves, you know, they want the court to give Republican lawmakers a seat at the table when it comes to crafting this stuff. So, you know, maybe that would lead to some grand bipartisan compromise, but we've seen how the last few weeks have gone, and one could also imagine a scenario where they don't see eye to eye on this stuff. You know, that Evers wants to keep the state closed. They don't, and they don't agree. And so then it could get thrown to local units of government to decide how they're going to handle stay at home and whether a place like Milwaukee County, for example, is going to issue its own stay-at-home order, but other more rural counties are not.
Yeah, I think a kind of to the extent that you can boil this down to kind of a basic thing, it's the difference between an order from the governor and existing state law and moving this whole system that we're living under to administrative rules, which the legislature has more power over. And that's, as Sean was talking about, something that requires a little bit more, under the current scenario, bipartisan compromise. So current laws do allow the Department of Health Services Secretary to administer things that control response to communicable diseases and things that have to do with COVID-19 in Wisconsin. So it's really state law that the DHS says that they're operating under right now, and that's why the court is getting involved, is that really the legislature wants to kind of shift the parameters under which things are being administered right now from those things that they don't have control over to things that they do have control over, which are under a variety of provisions that we've covered in the podcast in recent months and years, administrative rules.
I mean, it seems to me almost like if you really boil it down, it's another example of what we've seen over the past, you know, several months, you know, in terms of, you know, the fights are different, but at the same time, the fight is always the same in divided government in Wisconsin between the governor's power, his authority to do things, and the legislature's power to control things and do things, and the two of them sort of wrestling things out and oftentimes ending up in front of the courts to decide who has the power to do different things.
Yeah, and when it comes to the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, Republicans know they have a friendly audience there. You know, they've had very good success with the court. Conservatives still have a 5-2 majority on that court. You know, Dan Kelly lost his election, but he will remain on the court until his term ends. So he's on the court through July 31st. So I will say, though, that it is noteworthy that we are still, as we record this podcast, still under this stay-at-home extension. So, you know, when Evers tried to postpone the April 7th election, he issued an executive order using his powers on April 6th. It took 4 hours for the Supreme Court to strike him down in that case. They are not doing that in this case. You know, they set a briefing schedule that goes until April 30th. So Thursday, you know, the extension is going to be in place for at least a week. And in theory, they could rule right after briefs come in. They could, but, you know, they might not. I think everybody who has watched the court ever assumes that this conservative majority will be sympathetic to the arguments that the legislature should have more say. And in this case, the Republican legislature should have more say when it comes to doing this stuff. But this is the first time that they've ruled on these powers during this pandemic.
And I guess it bears mentioning, you know, in that time period, we don't know what the virus is going to be doing. We don't know what the situation on the ground is going to be. We don't know whether things are going to, you know, be rising or falling in terms of caseloads and deaths and that sort of thing. So I guess it seems all sort of up in the air.
Yeah, and I think that kind of metric is really important to mention, because another big thing that happened this week that we haven't even talked about yet is the fact that the governor did issue the Badger Bounce Back Plan, which is kind of the administration's guideline, I guess would be the way to the kind of phrase it, for the state coming back online, and what would be necessary for Wisconsin to do that in certain phases.
Yeah, and I think broad strokes, the plan itself is based on the White House's plan to reopen America. But the governor puts kind of hard numbers on it in a way that Republicans do not like. And specifically, he's talking about administering 86,000 tests per week is his goal. And so this is the stuff that Republicans don't like. To put that number in context, when the governor introduced this plan, the state had done an average of 1,600 tests per week. And so that's a pretty big jump from 1,600 to 86,000. And so Republicans are saying it's not realistic. You know, how are you going to test that many people? Why would you test that many people given the numbers that we've seen so far for COVID-19? This is the first time we've ever lived through something like this. So I don't know if we know what the right answer is to that, guys, but you do hear public health experts on the national level talk pretty frequently about how testing is kind of our only way out of this, that only through testing will we know sort of who has it, who doesn't. And, you know, testing will set us free in a way. That knowledge will let the American economy emerge. But it has emerged as a real sticking point between Evers and Republican lawmakers, from what we can tell so far.
Yeah, I mean, I guess at this point, we sort of just have to wait and see what the state Supreme Court does and, you know, what the virus does and figure out where we go from here.
That's like every week now. Well, not the court stuff, but figure out what the virus
sometimes
does.
The court where, stuff.
It has been a lot of court stuff. It's like the virus, the court. Yeah. I'm sure next week we'll be talking about something we haven't even imagined yet.
Well, we will be here for it. Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Laurel White is WPR's Capitol Reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
If you just can't get enough of the impeccable selections that I, John K. Wilson, make as music director of the WPR Politics podcast, well, good news, because you can hear new tunes almost every single week when you subscribe to the show. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and many other podcast apps. While you're there, leave a rating or review of the show to help other people find it. And of course, you can catch up on all of our past episodes anytime at wpr.org/politics.